This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, hi. Good evening. How are you?
Great.
Welcome to ENN. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I can touch anybody I want.
Then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
This is going to make people go nuts.
Guys, I have some unfortunate news for Nets fans.
What's that?
The Nets will be without Kyrie Irving tomorrow. Let's hear from Steve Nash, who says the team's used to guys being out.
It's tough to lose, you know, great players, but we've lost guys all season. So if there's any silver lining, it's that we've continued to win games this year, regardless of who's been available. We've been able to adapt on the fly, which is difficult to do sometimes. But for us, that's something we've had some experience with, and we should have some comfort and belief that no matter who plays, we can still perform and play well and be very difficult to beat. So I'm excited for our guys. Great opportunity, no matter who plays, to play in a really big playoff game at home and improve from the last game.
Positive vibes. Let's hear from Kevin Durant on the next man mentality.
We talk about basketball all year. We talk about schemes and what needs to be done. And all of us go through scenarios in our head because we love to play. But at certain points, it's just about going out there and hooping. I mean, we can have as many speeches as we want to give, but pretty much around this time, every team is going out there and just playing the game. And we got a game plan we want to execute. As simple as that. And we try not to add too much extras on anything. We all know what this game is about, and we all know what this time is. It's playoffs.
Well, Tim Legler is one expert who is not feeling great about the Nets' chances, minus Harden and Kyrie. Here's Legs on SportsCenter.
I do not think the Nets can win this series unless James Harden now makes an appearance the rest of the way. It's a best of three, and Kevin Durant out there by himself right now with the way these games are being officiated and as physical as the Bucks have been with him. I just think it's too tall of an order for Kevin Durant to do this by himself as an elite scorer against a Bucks team that right now feels very confident. So for me, that's all we're waiting to see. What is going on with the Nets' other two stars, and is James Harden making an appearance?
And he's not. They said he's not.
So Harden out, Kyrie out. This is the Nets team that we have. Now, the Nets remained a slight favorite to win the NBA title as of this morning at Caesars. They're plus 155 to win the Eastern Conference. The Bucks are plus 175. And they're plus 260 to win the championship ahead of the Jazz, who are at plus 325. Now, after the first two games of the series, Brooklyn was a minus 440 favorite, but now has dropped to a plus 120. So, I know this is shocking information, guys. People think of the Nets differently when they're down to one of the big three.
Yeah.
It's really crazy. I can't believe it. Now, let's also hear from Steve Nash, who was asked about something we mentioned earlier on the show, which is Mike D'Antoni interviewing with Portland. Here's Nash responding.
Mike's here with us. I'm assuming that would be on Zoom or over the phone, and he hasn't missed a beat. He's been here doing everything with us. You know, I don't like to fine my coaches, but if Mike steps out of the line and I got to levy a big fine on him, I will definitely do so.
Cute.
I mean, it's a cute dynamic, right? He played for D'Antoni. The idea of him sort of being angry at him is kind of absurd, right? You have to imagine that sort of a father-son dynamic they have running that team. I can't imagine he can actually tell D'Antoni what to do.
Well, as Michael said, it's probably part of the deal, right? But
I would think today's a pretty big day, no?
Don's down on it. I love it. I love when Don's down on things.
Listen, you've got work to do. I mean, these coaches have work to do. This is what you're here for. Because, Sarah said, well, there's not a lot of coaching to do now because they've got all the scenarios covered. Did they have a scenario covered that you're in a 2-2 series with two of your best players being out? I mean, is the analytics that thorough that you have a game plan? Or is it that right now you've got to put something together? Because I think if you lose tomorrow, I think you're done.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you, speaking of done.
I did.
The Nuggets are done. And it was late in the third quarter and the game was close when the Joker, Nikola Jokic, hit Cameron Payne of the Suns with a pretty hard foul. Basically, he was like frustrated on the offensive end, so when Payne grabbed the rebound, Jokic kind of chased him down and just swatted incredibly hard towards the ball. And his forearm hit Payne across the bridge of his nose. Payne went down like Sphinx. I mean,
in pain.
It really was in P-A-Y-N-E. And Jokic ends up getting a flagrant two. Now, get this, guys. This was Jokic's first flagrant of any variety, one or two, in 345 games played. Michael, did you see the play?
I'm seeing it now.
You got to watch from multiple angles, though, to kind of see the arm across the bridge of the nose.
Yeah, I see it, and I'm not quite sure I would have thrown him out. I'm not one of these people that believe because in a big spot you shouldn't throw somebody out. If it's a flagrant, it's a flagrant. But I don't know if that would fall under it.
To me, it was really hard. But it's this simple to me. I agree with you, Michael. I don't think you change the rules for the player. I don't think you change the rules for the situation. To me, it's like this, though. While it was him trying to commit a foul, he clearly swatted at the basketball. I just don't think it's a flagrant two. And then, yes, by giving him that, you effectively end the season for the Nuggets. Andrew, our resident basketball expert, what was your thought?
I didn't like it. I don't know. You say, Michael, that you don't change the way you feel based on situation, but if it's close, like this was, like it could go either way, then I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the situation, which is a key playoff game, the MVP of the league. Like, if it's close, I'll go that way, where I'm going to leave him in the game.
Well, that's fair. I understand. I don't think it was that close. That's why I think they should not have thrown him out.
You're right. You think it was clearly a flagrant one.
Yeah.
Let's hear from the Joker after the game. He was asked if he deserved to be ejected.
Guys, it's past. I don't know. It is. It happens. So it's that's probably true, or it's not true. We are not going to change it. So it is what it is.
Here's former NBA ref Steve Javy. He was on with KJZ earlier, and he said he has no problem with the call.
The thing that gets me a couple times here is that I understand, and I'm reading about he was frustrated and so on, and of course players get frustrated, there's no doubt, but he makes it really so obvious, guys. He just winds up and takes his big arm, and unfortunately for him, and I know he probably didn't in his mind say, I want to hit him in the nose, and he takes up this big windup, hits him in the nose, and I know some people might have said, well, the impact should have been harder. Well, do I need to see blood in order to, eject a guy? I mean, these are things that I think about as I'm watching the play. And, it does meet the criteria for it. There's this big windup. There's an impact. And where did the impact occur? Well, it occurred in his face area, in the nose. And it was in a basketball play. I know someone says, well, he was going for the ball. Well, let me tell you something. When someone goes for the ball, in my opinion, they don't start winding up 2 or 3 feet prior to making contact.
Yeah. It was a good spiel from Javy, but nah, bruh. Sorry.
No,
that was
giving
a one.
Him a nah, bruh.
Yeah, he gets a nah, bruh. In spite of the fact that you are an actual referee and I am a full-blown yo-yo.
Hack.
A hack-a-doodle-doo.
He didn't say hack.
I've watched – yeah, no, Michael volunteered that part. I have watched enough to know that's just not a kicked out of the game foul. It's just not. It was not nice. I'm sure it hurt Cameron Payne, and you get hit in the bridge of your nose like that, it really hurts. By the way, he did sell the hell out of it brilliantly. Michael, did you find yourself relating at all to the Hacks program at all when you were watching it?
No. Why would I relate to that?
I just find the idea of being in entertainment, this thing that never ends, being very relatable.
What do you mean, thing that never ends?
She's having the conversation about her life with the girl, with Ava, and she says to her, you know, and for the people who don't know the storyline, it's about an aging comedian who's in her 70s in Vegas, and she's just talking about it never gets easier. You just have to work harder to fight to stay on top. It, like, the battle never ends.
True.
It's tiring and more difficult.
Yeah.
God, Don, don't you think when I said that to you, Don, that would have really resonated, but he didn't even notice the line when it happened.
I'm not sure he watched. I don't think he consumed it.
Yeah, is there a possibility you were toking the boobange?
I did watch it.
Well, just hearing that storyline.
Why is that a blunder? I'm not such an egomaniac that I connect everything that's on the TV screen to myself. Only Peter's like that.
No, everybody does that. They put themselves in those situations.
That's what makes shows good.
That's entertainment. That's what you do. Come on. You don't sit there. Honestly, I enjoy music, but don't you, on a really good song, don't you envision the song and you're singing it?
No, I don't.
Really?
No.
When you're watching a show and there's a dilemma, you don't think about how I would handle that situation or putting yourself in that actor or actress's situation?
Here's how I consume.
That's why I do that constantly. I think I'm self-absorbed. I think most people do that.
You are self-absorbed. I sit there and I stare at the screen and let it come to me. I'm like the Pete Davidson character, Chad.
That is so not true.
Good.
Yeah. But this is why when you just say,
go ahead, let it out.
This is why you don't remember lines in movies. That's why you're not all in on
things. Because I don't internalize entertainment. I let it entertain me and etch-a-sketch it out of my brain.
You know, and
why
I mean
are you ripping
this,
me for
this
that?
Is not hyperbole at all. I feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
Because that's not how life is supposed to be. You're
why?
Supposed
that's
to be
the
all
way you
in
think
the
life
entertainment
has to be?
Aspect. Of, it's not just supposed to be flickers of light, and then when it's over, it's over.
That's
you're
it.
Supposed
that's
to make
what life
it a part
is.
Of you.
Life is flickers of light, and then it's over.
See that? No, but now it really is sad.
And it's true.
But flickers that's what makes of light. It sad. Don't you realize our lives are okay? As great as it is experiencing things.
Yeah.
Our whole life revolves around our memory of the experience because that's what lasts forever. You do things and it takes 10 minutes, 15 minutes, a day, a week, a year. But you live with how you feel about it and what you remember about it. That's what makes it great. Like a great movie is not just the entertainment of the 2 hours watching the movie. It's what it does to you and how you think about it and how you reflect on it after the fact. That's entertainment. Mm.
Don, isn't it sad, though, that you have to explain this to him? By the way, his book, where he talks with some of the greatest entertainers of all time, is in stores tomorrow.
I enjoy
music. And by the
music.
Way, Zach Hirsch from Wontaw just got a new book. Got
there you
book.
Go.
And you want, and you just hope that, so basically, Don, if you were Michael, the way you consume the book is, you read it on the toilet, you walk out, drop it into a bonfire, never think of it again.
And that makes me sad.
That's not right, because I think about things constantly. And you know what else I was thinking about, Don? Oh, I'm going to give you a list. It's going to be argued. It's going to be tough.
Oh, I love it.
But while spending time in Jamaica, obviously there was a lot of Bob Marley playing at the resort.
A lot of boobange.
And I started thinking about Bob, the level of, wait for it, international music icons. Not just here. The whole world, because I was thinking, is there anyone bigger than Bob? He may be the biggest international music icon of all time. Maybe Michael Jackson's ahead of him, I don't know. But it got me to thinking who that list looks like. And it's really interesting because you have to push yourself. When you think international, you can't just go immediately to who's most famous for us because there are people that go well beyond and others who don't. Marinate on that, Don. Well, spend some time.
Well, Jackson was the first one I thought of.
Well, I think Michael's probably number one, but I'm telling you, Bob Marley is, when you think about global influence and impact, this is, reggae is popular everywhere, all of Latin America, Asia, Europe, America. And it's not like where in most genres there are multiple people who you decide who's number one. Bob is number one. There's no one close, right? He's on an island, no pun intended, by himself. So it's an interesting thought of international music icons. Because, you know, a couple people threw Sinatra at me, and I'm like, I don't think Sinatra travels that well.
Yes, he does.
I don't. Michael, guess who I'm not talking to about this? You, the guy who thinks Joe Torre would be stopped in Beijing. No, thank you.
I didn't say Joe Torre. I said George Steinbrenner.
Right.
Even crazier.
I think that'll be tomorrow's list.
Oh, I got him. Got him revved up.
What do you think about the shirt today? I tried to make it very simple for you.
No, it's very nice. It's very, very nice.
Well, he was affected by this thing last week with the shirt.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Didn't give it a second thought, really.
Yeah.
Flickering light, and then it's
that,
over.
See, that's, you know, he'll sit there and watch The Godfather and not digest it, but somebody assaulted his shirt.
When you're watching The Godfather, right, and you see the scene with Sonny at the toll booth, you're picturing yourself getting shot at the toll booth.
Yeah, I picture what that would be like. I picture what that would be like, what he went through, what he was feeling at that moment.
Pain.
Real quick, we don't have much time. Andrew, can you take us through your experience watching the Christian Eriksen collapse during Euro 2020 on Saturday? Were you watching live? And obviously the 29-year-old is now stable in a Copenhagen hospital, but he was gone for a moment and came back to life. Take us through it.
Yeah, I was watching it live, and it's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life, watching a sporting event live. And I think myself and anybody who was watching it will never forget it. The experience of just the scenes on the field, his teammates forming kind of a human shield around him to give him some privacy in that moment. You could clearly see what was happening. CPR was being administered on the field. I mean, you could clearly tell.
So you could immediately tell that this was not an injury, but someone fighting for his life?
It was on screen, and he just dropped to the ground face first. And you know, it's things like that have happened before in soccer. There was a player, Fabrice Muamba, about 10 or so years ago in a match in England. It happened with him, and he was also similarly brought back to life. So you have seen these kinds of things, unfortunately, happen before. This was on a huge scale. I mean, this was a global audience. It's a major tournament right at the start of the tournament when popularity is really at its peak. And he's one of the best players in the world. He's a player for the team that just won the championship in Italy. He played for Tottenham for the 7 years before that. He's an incredibly recognizable figure. And you could tell the way he dropped and the immediate reaction of his teammates, the referee, the medical staff. I mean, credit to everybody. Everyone did the right things in terms of the response time. It was really incredible to watch that element of it. But every other part of it, it was horrific. It was gut-wrenching. And you just hope to never have to witness anything like that again. Fortunately, he seems okay, which is incredible.
I know.
But you're right. I mean, to hear the doctor talk about it, he used the word. He said he was gone, and they brought him back. It was unbelievable.
Really, really a crazy scene from Saturday. Also, guys, last thing. Jamison Crowder is going to work out that pay cut to remain with the Jets. There was some concern about him ending up a Jet. It will happen. He will work it out. That'll do it for ENN. On this Monday, June 14th.
See you, everybody. See you tomorrow at 2.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.